Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
Global Witness is calling for sanctions on 4 tycoons in Cambodia. Why only 4?
So the campaign that Global Witness is launching focuses on 4 of the tycoons who have cropped up in Global Witness investigations time and time again. So, you know, we have been documenting high-level corruption and human rights abuses in Cambodia for over 20 years. And, you know, these reports continue to show that Hun Sen's rule has been made possible by a network of tycoons, some of them senators, who have supported his party through political donations and military funding, and they have been very generously rewarded. They have basically been handed land, natural resources, government contracts. They have built vast business empires on this kind of system of state looting that has happened under Hun Sen's rule. And we think that they should be sanctioned for that. So there are the list could be longer. There are many more people that we would want to see sanctioned to, but this campaign is very much an amalgamation of our investigations. So drawing on our own research and our own findings, and these 4 men are the men that have come up most consistently in our own investigation.
Thank you, party donation. This is the reason why they can operate with impunity. So what kind of sanctions do you think should be imposed on them?
So in the US at the moment, Congress is considering a bill which would foresee sanctions against Cambodian officials. So this is government officials and military officials. And those sanctions would include visa bans, so a ban on those people traveling to the US, but also asset freezes. So anyone owning property in the US, that property could be seized. And there is also the potential of blocking U.S. bank accounts. And that would have repercussions not only in the U.S., but also internationally. So if you are banned from banking in the U.S., internationally, other banks, banks in Singapore, would also potentially take that quite seriously too. So this could have real repercussions for the individuals who are sanctioned. And you know, this is a great thing, and we are very keen for the U.S. to push through that legislation and to implement that legislation so that government officials and military officials who are implicated in the demise of democracy and in human rights abuses in Cambodia are punished. But we would also like to see them extend that list of targeted individuals to include these business elites who we are focusing on in our campaign, because we, you know, as this campaign is pointing out, we think that they are just as complicit in a lot of the bad things that have been happening in Cambodia, and we would like to see them sanctioned too.
Thank you. You cited 20 years of a Global Witness investigation and these 4
yeah.
individuals pop up. And what role do these people play in connection to this July election that you target them?
So a lot of the reporting, there's been a lot of international reporting about the election, obviously because the opposition party has been dissolved, Kem Sokha, the opposition leader, is in jail. But the reporting has treated this, at least the international reporting, has often treated this just as, it's focused very much on the kind of political antics of the Prime Minister and his party. And something we were very keen to do is to show that, you know, this has been in the making for a very long time already. It's been very clear to us that the ruling party, the regime, since they've been in power, they have been looting the state, they've been enriching themselves, they have been becoming increasingly rich, increasingly powerful. And it's now that these, you know, this corrupt elite have got to a position where they are so powerful that they really can just take control. And they are waging this campaign of terror of making anyone very scared to speak out against the government. And the role that these tycoons have played in that, you know, they're very much a part of this system. They have been they have been financially, politically supporting the regime. And you know, it's this whole political economy that sits beneath the politics that has been more widely reported on. So we were keen to see journalists, as you are doing, focusing in on the corruption, the grand corruption that sits underneath the political system.
Yeah, and also Global Witness said these people have a lot to lose if the CPP lose this election. And not exactly. Only you, but many other countries call it the July election a sham election. Yet the Japanese still support the National Election Committee. Are you concerned that Japan would give legitimacy to the new government?
Absolutely, yes. I think it's very disappointing that the Japanese are supporting the election, as you say, because that lends legitimacy to it. And there have been many, many groups who have been calling on governments like Japan, like China, to not do that. And I think it would be preferable if they didn't.
Continue on the donor community and the campaign said the people's vote will be robbed, and also to me, their votes were not robbed only after this July election, but they were actually robbed since the Supreme Court dissolved the main opposition party, Cambodian National Rescue Party, in November last year. Yet some democratic country still do business as usual with Prime Minister Hun Sen. What's your take on this?
Well, I think that's quite scandalous, really, and something that Global Witness has been pushing for a long time. Is, you know, we've been calling on foreign companies and foreign investors to make sure that they know who they're doing business with, because any financial transactions, any business dealings with corrupt members of the Cambodian elite is effectively bankrolling the corruption, the human rights abuses that we've seen over the last decades, and so they are complicit in that system. So we have been urging foreign companies and investors and governments to take their money out of that system and to not become involved in it.
Yeah. A final question. The illustration of Hun Sen and his cronies and his family will be released on Friday officially. And I can foresee that the government reaction would be it's a politically motivated report. So why you release it now, not long before this or after the election?
Not after the election. Well, for a number of reasons. One reason in Cambodia is it's I think, particularly in this current climate where the free press has been closed down, where civil society are being muzzled, where people are scared to talk out, that the internet is being actively policed by the authorities. We felt it was very important to get the truth out there so that people have, you know, good information, good unbiased information to make their own assessments from. I was also very keen to capitalize on political momentum in the US to sanction individuals, as discussed. And I thought this was a good way of getting that information out there, not only to Cambodians, but also to the international community, the international press. As I say, the election coverage has been quite myopic. It's been very focused on developments in the last 6 months. It's not taking into account the sort of political trajectory that's been sort of set in motion a very long time ago. So we really wanted this corruption angle to come out strongly.
Thank you so much, Emma, for talking to VOA.
You're very welcome. Thank you.